As we prepare to hear and meditate on the Word of God, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us the privilege of calling on you in prayer as your beloved children. Please pour out your Holy Spirit on us and help us to listen to your Word, to understand it, and to rejoice in your good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, I don't have pen and paper for people if they want to write notes, unfortunately, today. Didn't have time for that, so. But you want to. That's good. If you want a pen, please grab one from over there. You can probably write notes on the back of your Faith Talk sheet if you would like to do that. Sisters and brothers in Christ, last week, for those of you who weren't here, we looked at the first part of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in Heaven. And I spent a whole sermon on those four words, Our Father in Heaven. And there was so much more that we could have unpacked from that. But a really good summary of the first part of the Lord's Prayer is that God wants to hear our prayer because He is our Father who cares for us. And He can answer our prayer because He is our Father in Heaven, the creator of the universe and the powerful one. Today we're going to look at the part of the prayer that says, Hallowed be your name. Now, you know what? This is a bit weird and a bit complicated because we don't really know very much about what that word hallowed means, and we don't use it in everyday life. I can't ever remember using the word hallowed in a normal sentence, in normal conversation with my wife or kids. Never done it. So it's like, okay, what does this really mean? Well, I want to get into this and into the name of God by using literally an illustration. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. But the illustration is based around this passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
Bubble's falling apart a bit. Hard to get over. So Ephesians chapter 2 is a fairly well-known passage, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, that word workmanship actually has another translation, masterpiece. So let me read that verse again with that in there. For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. A masterpiece. I don't often go to the art gallery. I'm not a very cultured man. But I remember a year or so ago, Yvette and I went to the National Gallery of Victoria, and we just spent a couple of hours wandering around looking at the paintings. And there were some beautiful paintings. There were some amazing paintings. There were some huge paintings like that took up whole walls of the museum that were like probably 3 meters by 4 meters, huge paintings. But there was one painting that particularly caught my eye, and it wasn't very big. It was about this big. And it was this painting. It was just hanging there in among all the other paintings, and it was luminous. It was like the light was actually shining out of this painting, and it drew me. It's not very big. Like I said, it's only about 60 by 80 centimeters, but I had to go over and stand in front of that painting because it is a masterpiece. And I just stood there in awe and wonder, looking at this luminous painting going, how did he do that? How did he get that light, that play of light and color? It just drew me in. Now, the name on a painting, as you very well may know, really matters. The name matters. A masterpiece that is done by a great master can be worth a lot of money. Now, I wonder if anyone can tell me who did this painting. Anyone know this one? Anyone like to take a guess?
It might be really hard to see, but I cannot even pronounce the French. Yvette, how do you pronounce that word? By the way, there's a baby change area in the staff toilet just directly over here if you need that. How do you pronounce that? Vetroil? This is by a man called Claude Monet. Now, Monet's paintings are world famous for good reason, because they just draw you in. They're luminous. They're beautiful. They're glorious. They are sacred almost. You can stand in front of them and look at them in awe. And, wow, that's amazing. And in fact, Monet's paintings have sold for up to $80 million. Not this one in particular, but there are paintings by Monet that have sold for up to $80 million. The name on a masterpiece really matters. And like me, standing in front of this painting, just in awe, going, wow, that is what hallowed means. There's something special, there's something sacred, there's something set apart about the name of God. And if we stop to think about it, and if we pray about it, and if we get into it, we can begin to understand that to sit and contemplate the name of God, wow, it's so special to have God's name, because name is access to Him as our loving Father. So the name on a masterpiece matters. Now, if Ephesians 2 says, you are God's masterpiece, it says that to us who are Christians, you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's awesome, right? You've got God's name signed on the bottom, down here, bottom right corner of your life. That's so cool. But hang on a minute. Would God sign His name to my life? Would God sign His name to all the parts of my life? Would He be proud to put that name there? And when I stop and I think that way, then honestly, the answer is no, not really. Now, it's easy to look around and to say, look, some people, even people who are Christians, don't make God's name holy by their actions, do they? Like, if we think of some of the horrific things that we've heard about in the last 2 weeks, George Pell, terror in New Zealand, we go, would God want to sign His name to those things and events and people? But here's the thing, there are areas of my life that I want to keep to myself, that I don't want God to take over and to sign His name to. I want my name to be there, Nathan. You know, the petty jealousy and the greed, the lust and the resentment and the anger that maybe other people don't see, but those are the dark parts of my life. They don't glow luminously. They don't hallow God's name. And if we stop to think about it, all of us have secrets, dark places in our lives that don't glow luminously, that we can't stand in awe of and go, wow, that's so good. Hallowed be your name includes a call to repentance, because I have not made God's name holy by my actions. I have not made people go, wow, Nathan is a Christian. That is awesome. God must be so good. It doesn't happen all the time. So, as with all of the parts of the Lord's Prayer, we are called to be part of the answer to hallowed be your name. And when Christians do things that oppose the teachings of Jesus, we do not hallow God's name. We don't make it luminous and glorious. We actually smear mud all over it, and that's very sad. So here there is a call to repentance. But there's something more. You see, Jesus says, hallowed be your name. Wouldn't it be easy for Jesus to make this part of the prayer, Lord, make my life sanctified and holy so that you look good? Lord, make my life holy? Make my life luminous? But Jesus doesn't do that. He says, He doesn't teach us to pray, make me a sanctified, holy person. He teaches us to pray, hallowed be your name. Lord God, may your name be luminous. May we stand in awe of your name, not of Nathan's goodness or Gary's goodness or Yvette's goodness. And what does that mean for us? It means that it's not about me and it's not about my own efforts. It's not about my moral goodness. It doesn't depend on how hard I try to be good. It's about God and what he is doing in our lives. And so if I really want to be holy and if I want to hallow God's name, I shouldn't begin with myself. I shouldn't begin with my attempts to make myself or God look good. But the primary question is, are we in relationship with God, with God himself? If the relationship with God is right, then all of the parts of our life will also be transformed from within. And we will start to live lives that are luminous and glorious and that bring glory not to us, but to God. We need to turn the focus off ourselves and onto the master who made the masterpiece and to his glory. There's a quote from a theologian called Helmut Tillich, who actually preached a series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer in the midst of Stuttgart in the middle of the Second World War. And in the very middle of that sermon series, his church was bombed out by the Allies. And one of the sermons that he gives, he's standing with a small congregation of people in the ruins of the Lutheran church in Stuttgart. And he says this: "If Jesus does not teach us to pray, 'Make me a consecrated holy person,' but rather teaches us to say, 'Hallowed be your name,' what he is saying is this: it doesn't depend at all on your own exertions and your own inner progress. You can never set yourself up as your own goal. Everything depends on your being willing to honor God and let him work in your life, simply to stand still and let him be the Holy One who will actually have first place in your life above all people and all created things. Then the other will come by itself." And so God's name is actually made most holy, not when we live good lives, but when we trust in God. That we trust that God, through Jesus, is making us a masterpiece, forgiving our sins, wiping away those dark corners of our lives which are not luminous, and making us new. That Jesus is actually the one who has done this all. Hallowed be your name. The only way to live a truly transformed life, the only way to be a masterpiece, is to trust the master to work with the raw materials of your life and our lives so that we begin to reflect the glory of God. Think about that painting again. All of the ingredients are there, right? A canvas, some tubes or palette of different colors, brushes, an easel. But can the paints do anything to make themselves into a masterpiece? No. What they have to do is to submit to the action and the will of the master, who takes those raw materials and turns them into something absolutely luminous and beautiful. And it's the same with our lives as Christians. Can you do anything to make yourself a masterpiece? No, you cannot. All you can do is submit to the master, and he will take the raw materials of your life and my life, including the bad stuff, including the sin and the suffering and the resentment and anger and the sorrow, and somehow he will weave that in together into a beautiful picture of his work in your life. Let me just read a couple of Bible verses that tell us about that process. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, "Find it. I am the vine, you are the branches. If someone remains in me and I in him, they will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And then in verse 8, Jesus says, "This is to my Father's glory." This makes God luminous and awe-inspiring, if I can paraphrase it that way. "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter, who knew Jesus very well and who knew that he didn't live up to hallowing God's name, puts it this way. He says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." How good is that? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And finally, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, not very long before Jesus gives his disciples the Lord's Prayer, he says, I'll read from verse 14. "You are the light of the world." Hear that? You are luminous. "A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven." So how do we truly answer the prayer, "Hallowed be your name"? First of all, we trust the Master to work with the raw materials of our life to produce something beautiful for him, not our own effort. Secondly, we become transformed to be like Jesus from the inside out. We become like Jesus. We become masterpieces. Now, what you may not know, and I found out about Monet, one of his most famous paintings is called Water Lilies, right? Water Lilies. Has everyone heard of Water Lilies? Do you know that he did like 10 different versions of Water Lilies? And like at least two of them have sold for more than $80 million. Two separate paintings of Water Lilies, exactly the same scene. And he also did multiple paintings of this village, Vetuel, or however it's pronounced properly in French. So Monet made many paintings like this and his other famous works. And God is doing the same thing. God doesn't just have one beautiful picture called Jesus. He actually wants to make us like Jesus. He wants us to reflect the glory and the love and the image and the beauty of Jesus himself. And so I'm just going to finish by reading this last passage, which is Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." And Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died." That old life is dead. It's gone. "And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Hallowed be your name, Father, because you have brought us forgiveness. You have removed the darkness from our lives, and you are making the raw materials of our life into a masterpiece that reflects the love and forgiveness of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen." Next week, we'll have part 3 of the Lord's Prayer, which is "Your Kingdom Come." Wow, what an amazing 3 words that is. And we'll delve into that together as we learn to pray from Jesus.